Payne and Pendergast, a lot of people weighing in on first head coach fired. Someone texted Kalen DeBoer. College doesn't count. It's NFL. It's not college, all right?
That is, boy, Kalen DeBoer is a classic cautionary tale of taking over for a legend, you know, whether it be Nebraska or it's dicey, man. It's dicey.
Be the guy that takes over for the guy that took over for the legend. That's the key. Yeah, that is the key for sure.
My friend Jay Fiedler took over for Dan Marino in Miami. I wouldn't have told him not to take the job. That was the only time he was a named starter in the NFL, but that's a tough one. His locker was right next to Dan Marino's locker, which had plexiglass in front of it.
Retired the locker next to him? Oh, my God. That's great. Back issues have been a big topic around here. Not because the Texans have anybody with a back issue that we know of, but Matthew Stafford reportedly has been taking epidurals for a disc issue in his back throughout the offseason.
We practiced very little until last week.
Yep.
So far, so good. Steady as she goes. But we have very little information really about just what or really little information as to, you know, what to expect out of Matt Stafford.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Just don't know.
J.J. Watt was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday. And they got talking about this.
Talking about this because of Micah Parsons.
Oh, yeah. Because Micah Parsons
has the back issue. Yeah.
That's right. So
it's relevant to us because of Matt Stafford.
Correct.
But JJ was talking about it because of Micah Parsons' back issue.
Yep, that's right. And so Parsons is taking epidurals as well because of his back issue. JJ Watt told the anecdote about how he took an epidural in season 1 year. Because he collapsed in the weight room. He literally was squatting during the week.
He was warming up.
Yeah. He said, I did 5 sets of 405 on the squat rack.
No, he was on his way up, and he had 275 on his back, which isn't a lot of weight at all for a guy like JJ.
He's just warming up, yeah.
So he was warming up, getting up to his 405, but just, not even in one of his heavy exertion reps. His back blew out on him.
Said he crawled to the training room on his hands and knees. He was in such pain. And we remember J.J. Watt missed 2016, missed all but the first 3 games of 2016 with a back issue. He won Defensive Player of the Year in 2015 with a litany of injuries. And I remember revealed in the offseason on our show on the Triple Threat that he had a back issue during that year.
Yeah.
So J.J. tells this story on the McAfee show about his disc blowing out in the weight room early in the season, and McAfee said, when was it that you got your epidural?
When was this? What time of year?
This was, it was like week 4 or 5.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
275 takes him out. Mentally, you bad. Feel so weak because it was 275.
Did you squat anymore that year? No. I changed, obviously, everything. But
thank goodness.
It's one of those things where you look back on it, like it later, like, you know how, like, let me be candid here. You look back on it and you're like, man, I probably should have like asked a few more questions. I probably should have like done a little more research, but you know how it is, man. When you're in it and A, you're getting paid a lot of money. B, you got all these fans. C, you got your teammates. You're in the middle of the season. You're like, I don't care, man. Get me to Sunday. I don't care. Just get me back on that practice field. Get me out on the field. Even just telling that story, it does sound pretty dumb.
Outrageous, yeah. 405 every Monday.
Worked out, though.
Day after game, I need to be going through a 405 on my back, on my spine.
Okay.
I need to do it.
So that had to be the 2015 season.
Because he had considered having surgery after that season, didn't, and then
blew out again
in 2016.
So keep this in mind with JJ. If that was the 2015 season, and I'm 99% sure it was, he went on to not only win Defensive Player of the Year that year, but did it with a club on his hand for part of the year. Remember that, Seth? He had a club hand. He had a cast on his hand for the second half of the season. And that was also the season where all of his core basically ripped off of its pelvis once the postseason rolled around in that game against Kansas City. So he was his core was on a string as well during that. Like, so everything from pretty much like his sternum down to his the upper part of his thighs, front and back, was a mess that year.
Right, right, yeah. Anything that has a, your spine tends to connect to a lot of other parts.
Correct.
Of the body.
Yeah.
I don't know if people are aware of this. You know, maybe they didn't take biology 101 the way I did in college. But your spine tends to be one of the more important parts of your body.
It's amazing, man. That's incredible.
Yeah, I think that no, but so I'm listening to that, and I was impressed, but also thinking, all right, a 290-pound defensive end faces a lot more down-by-down exertion and strain than a quarterback. Yeah. And that Matt Stafford, now, you know, with the twisting and torquing and whatnot for a quarterback, obviously, that's a lot of stress and strain as well. But it's a reminder that, man, I think there's a really good chance that Matt Stafford's back bothers him at some point this year. But until it does, he might be the best version of whatever 37-year-old Matt Stafford can be. I'm not going into this game expecting his back to be an issue for him.
Yep.
And I think you go into this game fully expecting that Matt Stafford might be a little bit rusty because he didn't get a lot of reps in the preseason. But this is a guy that's played through a boatload of injuries before. As Cecil Shorts pointed out yesterday on our podcast, he just by virtue of him playing in Detroit all those years, like he had to, like that's all you need to know about his toughness. You know, he's worked through some things on some bad football teams. So I think there's a chance the Texans could make him feel really uncomfortable and the back could be an issue. But until it happens, I'm not going to act like it's definitely going to happen.
Yeah. Listening to JJ talk, I don't know anything about epidurals other than they're designed to, I guess, reduce the pain when you've got a back issue like that.
It can reduce the inflammation.
Yeah.
So whatever swelling is keeping the disc out of place,
yep,
everything can kind of settle back in.
Okay. So that's a good education right there on that.
Yeah, because the pain with disc stuff or anything, like, the pain is one thing, but it's the fact that once you pinch a nerve or something, you just can't. It doesn't matter what your pain tolerance is. You just can't move properly.
Yeah.
So you got to try to get everything settled back into place.
Until now, I knew virtually nothing about epidurals. When I heard J.J. Watt say that yesterday, that he took one and he got through the rest of the season, I'm like, Matthew Stafford's going to be fine. He's going to be fine.
Now, J.J. wasn't 37 years old at that
time. That's true. Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And he had already gotten himself into playing shape and speed and everything that year. So it was a matter of just trying to sustain that. Whereas for week one, there's a whole lot of things about this game where it's, okay, it's week one.
Mm-hmm.
Who has the advantages? Who has the disadvantages? The Rams have gotten off to slow starts in the last three seasons. A lot of people in LA wonder if it's because Sean McVay plays as starters so little that maybe they're just rusty at the beginning of the year. This is an extreme version of that for Matt Stafford. And he, you know, hasn't had a whole lot of time working with Devontae Adams. So I think they're not going to be the best version of the Rams offense in week one. The advantage the Texans might have is that because you're installing a new offense, they know Nick Caley and all of that. But as a player, man, it's hard. Week one, it sucks when you're trying to prepare for an offense and you don't really have any film of the guys you're going to play against in the system that they're running. So the Rams defensive players have very little film of the Texans starters running this offense. The coaches might have some good feel for what Caley might do or how they're going to operate, but the players themselves and getting those mental reps, they just can't. When you're watching film, you're not getting those same mental reps. So I think the Texans are a disadvantage because they have a rookie play caller, but they do at least have a little bit of an element of surprise.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit in the next segment. Nick Caserio was on with us yesterday, and he talked about the Rams' defensive line. This game is going to be won in the trenches, one side or the other. Nick Caserio talked about that with us yesterday. So we'll hear from the Texans GM coming up next.